My text is from John chapter 9. Title is, How's Your Eyesight? Well, as you can see, I have glasses on, so I need my eyesight with glasses. But this is a story about the blind man that was a beggar, that Jesus was walking along the road with his disciples, and he saw the blind man. And he had gone over to him, and he took some dirt and spit in it and put it in his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he did that, and when he came back, he could see. So his eyes, he was healed from his blindness. So I want to take a look at, I know it's a long reading, but I can't leave any of it out because each part is so important. So I'm just going to read it through, and then we'll talk about these things. So after seeing this, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Another said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself said, "I am the man." "Well, how then were your eyes opened?" they asked. And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. So they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which that Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "Well, he put mud in my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Well, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "Well, how can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." Well, the man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can see?" "Well, we know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." So his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "Well, he's of age. Ask him." The second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." And he replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." And they asked him, "Well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" So then they hurled the insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Well, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, but yet he opened my eyes." "Well, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. And Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Well, who is he, sir, that I may," the man asked, "tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." So now, I know that was a lot, but there's so much in there. you have different responses from different people to the blind man seeing. First you have the neighbors in verse 8. The neighbors, they were like, what, is this the same guy? I don't know, I think it is, maybe. They could see it change, but then they were like not sure, like, maybe that's not him. They didn't know. But then we get to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were very unwilling to accept what Jesus did. They were rejecting the truth, even though the blind man was standing there before them. And they thought, even when they asked him, where are your parents? So they asked the parents, is this your son that was born blind? They were trying to even trick them to say, well, it was just a magical thing, or maybe he wasn't the same man that was born blind. So the Pharisees were the ones who were unwilling, and they refused, and they had this jealousy and contempt. They didn't want to lose any kind of power. They didn't want to see the truth, and they didn't want to believe in this Messiah they called Jesus. And the parents, well, how did they respond? They were afraid to be telling. They understood and believed, but they weren't going to say anything because they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. And in that culture, if you got kicked out of the synagogue, you were shunned and excommunicated. You probably wouldn't be able to do any business or anything in this society. But interestingly, the blind man showed his growing faith throughout this by speaking the truth about what he experienced. And he also noticed it was by faith that he was able to speak the truth in front of the Pharisees. And he had a gradual increase of sight as you look through this. First, when he answered the people, he said, this is a man called Jesus that did this for me. And then he mentioned to the Pharisees, well, he's a prophet. And then he was the one that was able to heal. So he must have been from God, because if he wasn't from God, he wouldn't be able to do this. And then when we look down in the last part where Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man asked him to tell me so that I can believe. And now you see him. And now, even though his eyes were opened in the physical realm, Jesus says to him, now you have seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you. And then he realized that he was Jesus, Lord, and he worships him. So the spiritual awakening was when our eyes are open to him. We don't recognize him. In fact, if you think about it, I didn't realize this, but when we're all born blind, because even as a newborn baby, you don't see clearly until your brain matures. Because when you're a baby, a newborn, for months, you only see like a clouded, blurred vision. You don't see clear faces. You don't see clear color. It's just a gradual thing. And it's just like us. When we accept Christ and we recognize we need healed like the blind man, and we encounter him, our eyes are open to the spiritual aspect of things, and now we see things that we didn't see before. Things become clearer and clearer as we grow and mature in the Lord. And just like, it's like God gives us a pair of glasses. Now, when I was a kid, Mom can attest to this, I went along, I thought I saw, you know, everything was what I thought was normal, until I get my eyes checked and they put lenses. Is this better? Like, wow, I can see. I mean, I didn't know I wasn't able to see until they put those lenses at the doctor's office and they try all these little lenses on. Then you start to see, wow, I didn't know I was blind. I couldn't see, in fact. So he gives us spiritual glasses because now we are able, as Christians, as believers, when we accept him, we can start to see things in a different light, because Jesus is the light of the world. And in the Holy Spirit's help, Jesus illuminates things that we didn't see in God's word, in our lives, in our actions, we start to see a God who is real and who is our Savior. So, it's interesting that the blind man was easily actually schooling the Pharisees, because he knew that if he wasn't from God, he could do nothing. And God doesn't listen to the sinner that doesn't want to accept him. So he acknowledged that. Okay, so how do we become spiritually blind? What is spiritual blindness, first of all? Spiritual blindness is the inability to see the things of the Spirit. It's the inability to recognize the activity of God through the work or words of Jesus. And when someone doesn't recognize these things, then we are spiritually blind. But even though we are spiritually healed as our new eyeglasses being saved with the spiritual eyes, we can be prone to fall into being spiritually blind at times. Now, I know myself wearing glasses all these years, as I age, my lenses needed to change. As we get, they need to be examined every so often to see if you need to have more clarity and a different vision on your lenses, which usually happens every so many years, right? And what's interesting, though, is when we get older as Christians, or as we age in our natural, our eyesight diminishes, but as we age in our spiritual life with Christ, our spiritual eyes get better because we see things in a new light and we see things in a new way. So how do we become spiritually blind, or how can we fall prey to that? Well, just like the Pharisees, they had their own knowledge. It's sufficient enough. I don't need anyone to tell me what is truth. I have my own truth. I have my own belief, and everything's just working just fine. I know that if I'm a good person, then I'll be fine. I won't go, I'll go to heaven, whatever. And there's those things with keeping the rules. The Pharisees were trying to catch, well, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. You can't do that. There's different ways that we look at things that have to be done a certain way. If we follow all the rules, then we're good. We're good to go. Not so, because that doesn't really do anything for us spiritually. It just makes us follow rules and laws. Pride. Well, like they said, who are you to tell us and lecture us? You're a sinner. That's what they told the blind man that was blind. He was formerly blind. So who are you to tell me? Well, pride can get us in trouble. We all know that. Next thing is focusing our attention on our own understanding and our own desires. Because spiritual blindness is an inward thing. We focus about our own well-being and our own desires, our own pleasures, our own allurement to temptation to do things our way. And that can sort of cloud our vision. Just like this morning, every time I leave the house, I have to clean my glasses. Like, oh, wow, they're really smudged up and dirty. And like, I have to clean them because they need cleaned. And all the dirt and the smudginess of the negativity of the world, the chaos of the world, all the outlooks that look so negative, I need to clean those glasses and have a clear picture of what God showing me. And sometimes we bring glory to ourselves by not acknowledging Him for the things that are happening. These things that happen to us, many blessings, they're not just of our own accord. God has control over allowing all these blessings to happen to us. Our families, our jobs, our well-being, these come from God. It's not from our own works and doing things. So sometimes the reason we are fall prey to that is in 2 Corinthians 4:4, because it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Now, this is the unbelievers that don't want to acknowledge that Christ is who he is. They don't want to acknowledge. But sometimes do we sort of get into unbelief and say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to trust him with everything that I do. I believe who he is, but I'm not going to really totally surrender everything to him. So they cannot see the whole light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. But Satan will use a deception on us. Don't worry. He's not going to worry about all the unbelievers so much as all of us who have accepted Christ and say, he's always working to try to fool us, deceive us, give us disillusionment to the facts of who God is, who we are, our identity in him. So that is another thing, too. We have to be careful of that we're not distracted from God, because if we look at 2 Corinthians 4:18, how do we fix that is by looking and fixing our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So now that we have the spiritual glasses to see things, we are able to look at things in a new light. The things that I used to think were normal and okay in my previous life before Christ is now that I see things more clearly, that wasn't okay. It wasn't pleasing God. It was things that were actually sin. Because we can talk ourselves into thinking that things aren't really sin, but they are if we look at the Word and we look at what God says about it. So we have to be careful to keep continually fixing our eyes on what is not seen in the natural. We can walk through things that look dark and gloomy, but we also have to be able to see past that. It's like the night vision goggles. There's darkness all around, but if you have night vision goggles, you can see everything. So I had a thought about that too. It's like, because we have to trust and believe what God said. If we hear or read that God says he's going to do this, but we don't see it right now, we still have to believe that that is coming and look forward to it. We have to look past. It's like nearsighted and farsightedness. People that are farsighted, like me, I can see further away than close up. But sometimes we can be off balance and look too far into the future and look only to what God's supposed to do, but then we don't realize what God is doing right here in the now, right where we are at this place. But then people that are nearsighted are only looking at things that are happening in now and are not looking at the promises ahead that God has prophesied. So, but we can have bifocals there because God can give us equal ability to see into the future of what God's saying that he will do or what is prophesied. And we can also see where God wants us each day and where we are. Does it make sense? I feel like I'm just talking way there. But anyways, so when we are born again, we are open to the spiritual realm because the God perspective comes into play now. If we look at Matthew 6:22, okay. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the spiritual insight can be clouded. Spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to do and to see the world through his point of view. But this spiritual insight can be easily clouded. Self-serving desires, interests, and goals may block that vision. Serving God is the best way to restore a healthy eye that is fixed on God. So if we continue to look at God, it's like I was thinking about this morning. Did you ever go for a hike in the woods and it's like, all these stones and rocks, and you're walking through the woods. Don't you look for the easiest path to get through and among the trees that you're not going to hit the tree branches and the briars and the rocks? And God sort of gives you an idea of which way would be best. That's how God gives us the ability to see where he wants our path. He makes our way straight. He makes a way in the wilderness. He puts us on a path that he can guide us through, the best way, so that we don't sprain our ankle and we don't get hurt. So, yes, he makes ways for us to see things that we normally might not see. He gives us the ability to see error, things like I mentioned before, things that maybe I thought were okay, but maybe not, they're not okay now. We can see God in healings. And even sometimes we don't see the healing at that time. But if we believe God for the healing, we already speak it as if it is. Like, if you got hurt or you're having something you're going through, if we are speaking and believing that Jesus can heal and he's a healer and provider, we can claim that and say that I am being healed in Jesus. It may be in a way that we might not expect, and it may not be the way we are planning. So, but we have to rely on him. Trust him when we don't understand. We want to always ask why? When? But God's ways are higher than ours. We don't always understand it. We can see his plans unfolding even in the midst of things going on. Like, in the natural, I can see all the things that are wrong, all the things that are going wrong, all the things that need to change. But with God's help through spiritual eyes, I say, there is hope there. God has victory there. I will have victory there. We have hope for our family, our future, our provision, our healing. So like I said, we need to do checkups every now and then to see where we're looking and what we're looking at and how we're looking at things. So, and as we grow in the Lord, we will see clearer and clearer. And we will see Jesus for who he is. And when Jesus asked the blind man, do you believe in the Son of Man or Son of God? And he said, I do, but I need, tell me who he is. So who is he to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your healer? Is he your friend? Is he Lord? Once we accept him as our Savior, we also want to make him Lord. So that's part of the plan, too, that we need to make him Lord of our lives, that we give him control. So, and we don't want to become, like, there's people that may be sitting in church all their lives. I read a thing online somewhere that a pastor was preaching a message and he got saved on his own sermon. Because you can think that you're saved and you're a Christian, but are you really? Because if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and put your trust in him and believe in him, then you're not saved. You're not born again. People can say that, oh, well, I go to church every Sunday and Wednesday and every night of the week there's a prayer meeting. I serve on the council. I teach Bible study. I teach children's church. I've been going to church since I was a little baby. But you may be in the church, but you've heard the message, but your eyes weren't opened to who Jesus really is. And we may not have had our admitting that we were blind. But like he said, I was blind and now I see. See, once you have that encounter with Jesus, like Saul. Saul was, before Paul, he was on the road. He thought he was doing God a favor by doing all these rounding up Christians and persecuting them, imprisoning them. But once he had the encounter with Jesus, and he had blindness physically, he had the spiritual eye awakening when he had a vision of Ananias coming and putting hands on him. He received his sight again, but he also had spiritual sight, and he followed Jesus and was one of the most, Paul wrote most of the epistles here that we talk about. So, but we have to examine our eyesight. What are we looking at? Are we looking at all the problems in the things around us? or are we looking at what God is doing anyway? I can see places where I thought, there's no hope there. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, wait a minute. I see some glimpses of things that God must be working on because I can start to see it. So when we start looking for it, we'll find it. We'll find those places. We'll see God's hand moving. We'll see God changing our inner man because we're not the same as we were probably last year, 10 years ago, or how old we are. Because God's always in the business of growing us if we let him. And only then can we do that if we admit that we need to see clearly. So I want to end with a prayer on Ephesians. I love this, and I didn't put that there, but I just feel like it's a prayer for all of us. So let's just end with that. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened in order that we would know the hope for which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people that you have called us, and in your incomparable great power for us who believe. And that power is the same as the mighty strength that you exerted when you raised Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand. And Lord, we ask that you would enlighten us, Lord. Give us clearer vision in our hearts and in our minds and in our eyesight. Lord, help us to know when there's some clouded visions or our eyes need reexamined and fixed upon you and not on ourselves, not on the problem, but that we can see your hand at work. And we thank you, Lord God, that you opened our eyes to us when we accepted you. We didn't see clearly then. We were born that way in our spiritual aspect of life. We didn't see things in the way that you purposed for us, but now we see. We see you clearly, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord, that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.